You're listening to Stories of the Master. The stories of Jesus have reached into the hearts of millions. They have changed people, families, and nations. Not all have loved the stories Jesus told. Not all have honored the life he lived. Some were angry with him, the things he did and the things he said. Others were deeply moved and found hope. What will your response be? Today on Stories of the Master, the perfect storm. And it is taken from Mark chapter 4, verse 36 through chapter 5, verse 20. I hope you will follow along in your own Bible. My name is Jonathan, and I'll be your storyteller and teacher. I'm so glad you're here. Gather your friends, come close, and listen. It's time for the world to hear again the stories of the Master. And now, the perfect storm. How long could Jesus keep up his pace and the demands that were upon him? Everywhere he went, people surrounded him, wanting to touch him for healing, clawing their way through the crowds to be near him. At times, he would teach for hours. At other times, he would heal what seemed like an endless line of sad and hurting souls. Then, he would often have to contend with the anger of the religious rulers who pressured him to conform to their way of doing things, to stop what he was doing, or face severe consequences. Many thought his life was in danger, and the toll it took upon Jesus could be seen in his face. After another long day of teaching, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's all get into the boat and go to the other side of the lake." At last, it seemed they could take a break. This would be good for Jesus and for his disciples, who shared his busy schedule. The men gathered their supplies and put out from the shore. A nice sail on the lake would be a refreshing way to spend their afternoon. Jesus went to the stern and lay down on a cushion. Within moments, he was sound asleep, and the disciples relaxed and enjoyed the beauty of God's wonderful creation. Soon, however, the wind began to blow and then started to pick up. The disciples, who were seasoned fishermen, looked with concern at the storm clouds in the distance and hoped and prayed that they would not head their way. Storms on the Sea of Galilee could arise so quickly and make it perilous. One of the disciples then said to them all, "We better get ready. The storm looks like it's headed straight for us. I think we can ride it out, but you never know on this lake." Another one said, "Should we wake up Jesus and tell him?" No, let him sleep. Maybe the storm won't be so bad, or it will go around us. He needs his rest anyway." But soon the wind picked up more speed and began to blow fiercely upon them. The waves rose and the water began to splash over the sides of the boat. They let down their sails to ride it out, but the boat still tossed about dangerously. "I can't believe Jesus is sleeping through this storm. He must be exhausted," one disciple said. And as Jesus slept, the storm grew even fiercer. Soon, the boat began to take on dangerous amounts of water, and the fishermen realized they were in peril. With every ounce of energy, they bailed water out of the boat, but it seemed the water was coming on faster than they could remove it. Another large wave crashed over them, and the wind roared even stronger. The boat went dizzily high on a wave and then raced down the other side. None of these men had ever encountered a storm like this. "We're all going to die," one of them said. "Our lives can't end like this. Jesus' life can't end like this. God help us. God save us." Finally, one of the disciples ran to Jesus in the stern, still soundly asleep, and yelled, "Jesus! Master, we're perishing! Don't you care about what is happening?" Jesus rubbed his eyes, took a deep breath, and focused. He looked about at the boat. He looked at his men. He looked at the storm around them. And then he stood up, made his way to the front of the boat, and said in a loud voice, "Hush! Be still!" Some of the disciples thought he was speaking to them. How could they be quiet when they were in an emergency? They needed to shout out their encouragement and instructions to keep the boat from sinking. How could they be still when they had to work so hard to keep the boat from sinking? But Jesus was not speaking to them. He wasn't even looking at them. He was looking right into the eye of the storm. And in a matter of moments, the wind began to die down and the waves became calmer. The clouds began to dissipate. The lake was perfectly at peace, and they were saved. Jesus turned to the disciples and said, "Why were you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were speechless. They were not speechless because of what Jesus had just said about their lack of faith, but they were speechless for what they had just witnessed. Jesus had slept through a storm and then calmed the worst storm they had ever seen on the lake. With a few words, Jesus had turned a raging storm into a gentle breeze. And they began to say to one another, "Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey his word." And they began to be very afraid. My friends, what would you have done in this situation? Let's think about this story for a moment and see what we can learn from it. It is important first to realize that Jesus is the one who suggested they go to the other side. He initiated the journey, and one of the lessons he wanted to teach his disciples and us is that following him does not mean we are exempt from difficulties. We may experience storms because we do follow Jesus. The question we must ask ourselves is, will we continue to follow him even through the storms? Second, Jesus did not seem overly concerned. He was with them and asleep. It had been a long, strenuous day, several days. He was exhausted, and it did not take much to put him into a deep rest. But then the storm came, and he continued sleeping. The danger did not arouse him. May I ask you this? Has it ever seemed like God was asleep or not paying attention when you were in a storm? Many years before this, King David wrote these words, "Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift up yourself against the rage of my adversaries. Arouse yourself for me." At another place he wrote, "Stir up yourself and awake to my right and to my cause, my God and my Lord." And in yet another place, "Arouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake! Do not reject us forever." This is exactly what was happening to the disciples. They were obeying the Lord. They got into the boat, as he said, and were on their way to the other side as he had directed. Then a storm came up, and Jesus seemed to be doing nothing about it. In fact, he was sleeping. The disciples had three reactions to the storm. First, they were timid. To be timid means to shrink from danger or risk. Let's say it plainly, they were cowardly. What could they have done to show courage? Well, they could have called upon God in faith to help them. Or they could have tried to calm the wind and the waves in the name of Jesus. Jesus, after all, had said he would give them authority to heal and to cast out demons. Why not try to calm the storm as well in his name? They could have asked Jesus to control the situation in faith. They could have said, Lord, there's a life-threatening storm upon us, but we're not afraid. Just say the word, and we will be saved. Lord, you changed the water into wine. You can change this storm into a gentle breeze. But they did not do any of those things. They were shrinking from danger. All they had learned seemed to get blown away by the wind and washed overboard with the waves. Second, the disciples panicked. They said, Master, Master, we are perishing. Doesn't it strike you odd that they said, we are perishing? The we includes Jesus. Jesus, we're all going to drown, you too. Now, let me ask you this. How likely was it that God would let his anointed one, Jesus, die this way? Die by accident? Those disciples were as secure as Jesus. And this teaches us an important lesson. You and I, if we are in Christ, are just as secure as Jesus is today. We don't know the time or the manner of our death, but if we walk in obedience to the Lord, we can have the assurance that we are as safe as Jesus Christ. Friends, it is safer to be in a boat, in the middle of a lake, in a raging storm, in the will of God, than on the dry land and be in disobedience to him. Here's the third response of the disciples. They questioned his love. They said, Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? Don't you care? This question hurts the heart of God the most. Questioning his love. And this may be the most crucial response of the three, because timidity and panic deal with the circumstances around us. But this response, questioning God's care, strikes at the heart of God and his relationship with us. What was at the root of their wrong reaction? Why did the disciples fail? Why were they timid, panicking, questioning his love? Jesus said, they had no faith. They had already seen Jesus exert authority in other circumstances, but they did not connect it to this situation. They did not stop and say, if Jesus exerted power before, he can do it again. King David had made that connection when he lived. As a young shepherd, he killed a lion and a bear to protect his sheep. Then, when the giant Goliath challenged the armies of Israel, David made the connection. If my God can empower me to kill a lion and a bear, he can empower me to kill a giant. Can you and I do this? Can we build faith for the storms of life that come our way? Yes, we can. We can gain victories in our smaller daily challenges so that when the big ones come, we will be ready like David to face the giant. We must remember our victories by the power of God and say, if God could give me victory then and there, he can give me victory here and now. There's a second reason why the disciples had no faith. They saw Jesus exert authority for others in desperate situations. Think of the paralyzed man. Think of the man who had been lame for 38 years. But they failed to connect those miracles to their own desperate need. They did not say, Lord, if you did it for them, you can do it for me. How can we build faith in the storm? By observing God's work for others and connecting it to our own challenges. And then there's a third reason why the disciples failed. They forgot what the original instruction was and who gave it. If they had just remembered, they could have said, Lord, I realize, I believe, I'm not here to drown. You told us to get into the boat and to go to the other side, and I believe you will get us there. And we must remember his word to us, especially when the storm is raging around us. The disciples were happy again. The sea was calm, the weather beautiful. The sails were back up on their boat, and they were rapidly making it to the other side of the lake. But what they did not realize was that another storm was waiting, just as severe and perhaps more deadly. And when we get back, we will see what it was. Hello, everyone. This is Jonathan Williams, the creator of and storyteller for Stories of the Master. I hope you're enjoying today's story. It's become one of my favorites. Perhaps it is because I can identify with those disciples who panicked in a storm and who questioned the love of God. But as we saw, there was no need to panic, and the Lord had everything under control. Stories of the Master is a ministry of Word of God Speak, where we teach the truth of God's Word for life change, a biblical worldview, and connect your story with the story of Christ's love for you. We hope you will write to us at P.O. Box 90047 in San Antonio, Texas, 78209 in the United States. Check out our website, storiesofthemaster.com, where you will find many resources to help you in your discovery of Jesus. Jesus and his disciples made it safely through the storm and were now approaching land. But another storm was waiting for them. Let's get back to our story and see what happened. Many months before the storm on the Sea of Galilee, another storm had started in the heart of a man. Fear would come upon him for the things he had seen and done. He would sometimes awaken, screaming in the middle of the night, and only his wife's soothing voice could calm him. Then, during the day, the fear started coming. His wife could see it in his eyes, and she shrank back in horror and protected the children as he would go into a violent rage. "I don't know what to do," she would say to her friends. This evil comes over him, and he is not himself. I fear for him, and I am afraid he will hurt the children or me." One day, screams were heard in the village. The wife ran to the door of her humble home, and to her horror, she saw her husband in a violent rage, yelling and throwing things at people. He then ran to the gate of a small estate, broke it off its hinges effortlessly, and hurled that at the villagers. Where did this man get such strength? "Let me go to him," she said. But as the woman ran to her husband, he looked upon her with rage and began to attack her. Several men ran to her rescue, and with every ounce of strength were only able to subdue him. "Get some ropes, get some chains, get anything. We can barely hold him down. Hurry," they said to the other villagers. When they tied him up, the man began to scream in anguish. "No! No! This cannot happen to me!" His face turned red. His voice took on an inhuman quality, and with rage he screamed again, "This will not happen to me! This cannot happen to me!" With superhuman strength, and with a sneering, animal-like look on his face, he broke the ropes and the chains as if they were twigs and string. The villagers gasped at what they had just seen, but they were not prepared for the next action, for the man began to take off his clothes, shaming his family and laughing with scorn at the weakness of those around him. And then he screamed one more time, "You have no idea who I am! am!" And with supernatural speed, he ran away from the village to the tombs, where the dead lay in silence. There, the man lived for days, for weeks. From time to time, he would sneak into the village and steal food, but he would quickly return to the abode of the dead, the only place where he felt welcome. The villagers could hear his yells and screams, sometimes at night, sometimes during the day. Some brave souls would venture to the edge of the tombs to see if they could see the crazed man, and what they saw revolted them. His hair had grown long and shaggy. His naked body was deeply burned by the sun and thinning for lack of proper nourishment. And there were scars all over his body. Scars from when he would take sharp stones and gouge his flesh for the pleasure and the pain of seeing his blood flow freely. Few dared to venture that way, and only the herders of swine would come close. From time to time they would see the remains of a pig, and they knew it was the crazed man who had taken one. But that was a small price to pay for his staying away from them. One day, the man had ventured close to the eastern shores of the Sea of Galilee. He was watching a storm like he had never seen before, and laughed at the trouble it was bringing to any who might be on the lake. "Yes! Yes! Let it come! Let it come! Let it storm! More! More!" But then he noticed, strangely, that the storm stopped suddenly, and the whole sea became calm. And soon, a boat full of men talking cheerfully and bravely about their terrible ordeal on the lake. But it wasn't the men who were talking who occupied his attention. It was one man in the midst of them that bothered him. He knew who this man was, and he sensed that this man was coming for him. The crazed man gathered all his strength and ran toward the edge of the lake. But as he drew near, the man came off the ship with speed and strode toward the man with his arm outstretched. Their eyes locked, and the man hit the ground and bowed before Jesus. And then he heard his voice, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit!" With rage and anguish in his voice, the man said, "No! I will not! We have no business with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God.
But, I beg you, by God, do not torment me."
"What is your name?" Jesus asked.
"My name is Legion, for we are many.
But I know what you're going to do. Please, please, do not send us out of the country. Do not send us away, please. Please do not send us away. Not that, no, please."
Just at that moment, the herd of swine with their herders came into view on a high plateau close to the lake. Jesus looked at the swine. The host of evil spirits looked at the swine.
"The pigs? Yes, the pigs. Send us into the pigs. We'll live there. We'll leave this man alone. Just don't send us away. Anything but that. Send us into the pigs. Yes, please, please."
And Jesus said, "Go." And with one last screaming convulsion, the man collapsed to the ground like a dead man. But 1 second later, on the high plateau by the lake, the pigs started letting out squeals of pain and anguish. 2,000 of them. It was a sound like no one had heard before. And then, as if filled with madness,
The pigs ran down the steep hillside straight into the lake.
The herders of the swine did not understand what was happening, and they ran after them, saying, "Stop! Stop, you stupid pigs! What are you doing? Stop!" But it was no use. Deeper and deeper into the water they ran until they were swimming, and then they swam deeper still. A large gust of wind came over the lake, and a huge wave swept over the pigs, and they were no more. But if you listened closely, you could hear what sounded like the screams of spirits descending into a bottomless pit. The pig herders looked at the sea. They looked at Jesus. They looked at the man who lived among the tombs and started backing up. And then, when they felt safe, they ran with all their might to the village. Jesus turned to the man in whom the evil spirits had lived for so long. He was weeping. His tears were tears of grief for what he had suffered for so long, but they soon gave way to tears of joy and relief, for he was now free from the legion of demons. "Give him some clothes," Jesus told his disciples. And they wrapped the man in the extra garments that some of them had carried on board. They all sat down, and the man began to tell his story, clearly, cleanly, coherently. He looked at Jesus and said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy to me." All of Jesus' disciples surrounded the man and welcomed him into their midst. And the look of joy and love from the face of Jesus washed over the man. He felt free from the plague of demons and clean as if he had been purified and made new. A few moments later, as Jesus, the man, and Jesus' disciples were talking, they heard voices in the distance. "Over there! That's where it happened! And look! There he is! There's the man who lives among the tombs! And there is that other man who cast a spell over him." Jesus winced when he heard their conversation. "Cast a spell? Did they not know the difference between magic and the power of God? Were these people like the Pharisees who said that he cast out demons by the power of Satan?" The village elders walked up to Jesus, and even though they saw the man who had been living among the tombs sitting peacefully, fully clothed, and talking like a normal human, they became extremely frightened and said to Jesus, "We want you to leave. We don't like this kind of thing, this kind of magic that you are performing. And we don't need your kind here. Please leave us and go back to your own people." And with sorrow, Jesus got up, nodded to his disciples, and started walking back into the boat to sail away. But as the villagers watched Jesus and his disciples head to the shore, the man in whom the demons had dwelled said, "Lord, please, let me come with you. You have been so merciful to me. I want to follow you. I want to be one of your disciples." Jesus smiled at the man, looked deeply into his face, and said, "No, I want you to go home, and I want you to tell your people the great things the Lord has done for you." The man was quiet for a moment. He looked deeply into the eyes of Jesus and said, "Yes, Master, I will do that." He then embraced Jesus and watched as he and his disciples got into their boat. The wind picked up, the sails were hoisted, and soon they were out of sight. The man stayed on the shore as long as he could see Jesus, but when he could no longer see him or the boat, he turned and headed home with peace and joy in his heart. Hello, everyone. This is Jonathan Williams again. My heart has been deeply touched by today's stories. Oh, the mercy of God upon this man and upon Jesus' disciples when they were in the storm. I tell you these stories because I want you to know that the same Jesus who calmed the storm and cast the evil spirits out of the man is alive today, and he wants to calm your storms and deliver you from whatever evil lurks in your life. Stories of the Master is a ministry of Word of God Speak, where we teach the truth of God's Word for life change, to build a biblical worldview, and to connect your story with the story of Christ's love for you. We hope you'll write to us. Write to us at P.O. Box 90047 in San Antonio, Texas 78209 in the United States. Check out our website, storiesofthemaster.com, where you will find many resources to help you in your discovery of Jesus. My name is Jonathan Williams, and I hope you've been blessed today, and I look forward to you joining us next week for another Story of the Master. Until then, may the Master himself richly bless you.